The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Discover a team that's always here to support you at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
So we can stay at home and we can do our gardens, and we'll give people some tips on setting up the garden for 2021. But first, how are you?
I'm good. It's been, like everybody else, it's been a strange year where I had to kind of curtail my activities, my romping around the place, and centre myself completely on home. So for the first year in 25 years, I haven't travelled, which has been wonderful. And getting to know my own plot and deal with my own head has been interesting.
And so when please God, this is all over or whatever, will you go back to the living the way you used to live before, or do you think it's changed you from that perspective?
No, I definitely won't go back to living the way I lived before, which kind of involved 2 or 3 days a week, getting up at 4:30, going to an airport, you know, falling back into my car at the airport at 11 o'clock at night, generally going to some part of Europe or the world to talk about projects, half of which never happen. And when it all stops, you wonder why was I running around the place? What was I at? It just seemed to be a train that I was on, that maybe many of us are on. So I'll much more be focused on kind of working from home through, I suppose, the technology that we have now. On the other hand, of course, like everybody else, I'd love to travel again. I'd love to see places and love to learn and appreciate.
I believe you've been travelling down to the sea. You're one of the dry robe mob now, are you?
I am. I'm just back in the door from my dip in Greystones. Yeah, it was something I never wanted to do as a kid. I loved swimming in the sea, but then I grew up and all those joys seemed no longer to be joys. And a friend last March said, come on, let's go down early in the morning. And ever since, I aspired to a dry rope, but I couldn't justify the cost of a dry rope. But Santi brought me one, so it has made a difference. It's cold out there today.
I'd say it was nippy, yeah. Of course, I should have introduced you as Ambassador, Gavin. You've taken on an ambassador role with the United Nations now.
Yes, I should have the Ferraro Rocher in front of me. Yeah, as part of a UN initiative through their Food and Agriculture Organization, myself and Monty Don are fronting a campaign to look after plant health and soil health for the next year. The campaign originally would have involved probably an awful lot of travel. We still hope to do some conferences and whatever from March, I think, to June. But it's really important that we look after our environment and our local environment, and that can be just our gardens or our common spaces or whatever, and understand the effect that we as kind of individual gardeners can have on the environment. Plants are, you know, with the changing climate, plants are under attack. And my last holiday I spent in Puglia in Italy, and it was incredible to see kind of hundreds of acres of olive trees.
It's extraordinary, isn't it? Yeah, and there are some of them like nearly 1,000 years old.
Exactly, and nearly 1,000 years old and been farmed by the same families. That whole industry decimated because of a disease. And we all have a part to play. If we take cuttings, if we take snippets of little plants, bring them home from wherever, they could be carrying pest, disease.
Okay.
We don't know. Or even we have to be careful about the plants that we introduce to our gardens. Rhododendron ponticum going mad for the last 100 years in parts of County Kerry, suffocating out any other native species and not leaving room for, you know, indigenous wildlife, fauna, flora, fauna, whatever. So there's lots of things that we can do ourselves. And as an island, and with now, since Brexit, the Department of Agriculture here, they have control of everything that comes in, and we have to ensure that plants have, if we're in the industry, if we import plants, that they have the passports that they're meant to have, the checks that they're meant to have, and cooperate. So the way we're gardening is changing, but I think in this country we're not doing too bad, and there seems to be very good support from the government from this campaign.
Okay, so let's take it down to the particular for people then. And obviously people have been getting, I think, huge mental health benefits from being out in the garden.
That's right. That's right. Gardening is an amazing thing, because when you set out the garden, you know, there's a number of different projects you'll probably be doing. It might be digging, it might be weeding, it might be watering, feeding, pruning, or just cleaning up. And your mind has to be in the moment. And gardening is, in many ways, the ultimate form of creativity and hope. We're really lucky where we live. Okay, it's cold today, but we have four distinct seasons. And there's always something different happening in the garden. There's always a new range of plants about to come. We've just been through the amazing autumnal colour. And now we're in winter. We're enjoying maybe the bit of frost, a bit of snow on the plants, the first blossoms that are appearing on the trees, and the bulbs that are beginning to push up, in many cases a little bit earlier than usual this year. And spring is just around the corner.
You know, it is, you're right. Let's not forget that spring is just around the corner. So what should we be doing in our garden now? And let's keep this accessible for everybody. If you decide, okay, this year I'm going to cultivate the garden a little bit, is there anything we can be doing at this point to get us ready for spring and summer?
Yeah, just these few days you have to be a little bit careful, because there's the potential, if there's frost on the lawn, if there's frost on the grass, or if the ground is waterlogged, you could do a little bit more damage than good. So getting the seed catalogues, going online, thinking about what you would like to grow, and thinking about the way that you will grow it, is a good time at the moment. Always a good time to look after the birds, you know, when they can't have access to the normal food if the ground is frozen. So keep the bird feeders filled up, because if you've started feeding them, they're relying on you every day. Mulching is good if your ground is okay to walk out on. So getting organic matter and putting a kind of duvet of well-rotted manure or your homemade compost or whatever material that you have around the base of the plants to keep the root system that little bit warmer. Anything that, if you haven't had the frost yet and you love to grow kind of tender plants, we're remarkably lucky with our temperate climate in this country, and we can grow exotic looking species. Even if you have visitors over from England, they're amazed at the type of plants that can be grown.
Such as
a Gritsolinia hedge, the most common hedge probably in Dublin. You won't find it in Britain. Any of those cordylines, the Australian cabbage palm, is an exotic plant in many parts of the world, and we're overrun by them, which is fantastic. My favourite plant is probably Dicksonia antarctica, which is a Tasmanian tree fern, do very, very well in this country. Now, I'm at the foot of the sugarloaf in a little frost pocket. It was covered in snow yesterday. They love it here, and they'll, in many cases, go down to about minus 15 without a problem, and I don't wrap them. But if you have plants that are a little bit tender, they might need to be wrapped with horticultural fleece or some hay or some straw, something like that.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Because we like the exotic in our, because we have this moist temperate climate, so it never gets too cold. So we can plant with hints of the exotic, and that really does, signify many of our well-known gardens around the country, that walking into a garden, you can be transported without travel to different parts of the world because of the great work of, you know, plant hunters bringing in these plants for generations.
Yeah, lovely. So if you're starting a garden for the very first time, or starting it seriously for the first time, what would be your tips?
Get your soil right. Soil is the foundation of virtually everything that grows on our planet. Healthy soil will mean healthy plants. Healthy plants will mean a very prosperous, bountiful garden. So understand what your soil is like. If it's and understand how you can improve it. There's two main types of soil.
Right.
We have heavy, mucky, clay soil that forms a ball when you get it in the grip of your palm. That of your hand. That doesn't mean that it's not good soil. There's plenty of nutrients in there. It just means that the nutrients, everything that the plant needs to grow successfully, maybe are not available to the roots of the plant. So improving your soil structure. Heavy clay soil can be improved by adding organic matter. So can a light sandy soil, which tends to drain away. So the big investment in any garden at the very start should be examining the type of soil that you have, understanding how to improve it, and then just gazing at your garden and getting to know your garden a little bit and understanding what will grow well where. So open, sunny positions are the places that are going to do, be very good to plant anything that is going to produce fruit or is going to produce flower. They need the biggest amount of direct sunlight that they can get in a day. So observing, planning to work with nature, planning to plant plenty of pollinators, and really beginning to examine how we garden. We've grown up, you know, with the idea of gardening as something that's only important for us, keeping a nice garden, making it look good for the neighbours, winning prizes at flower shows for the best, the biggest, the most beautiful. But now we must garden for the environment, our bigger environment, and understand that we need pollinators, we need the bees and the moths and all the insects to do their job. So we don't need to garden in such a tidy way. Maybe we don't need so many lawns. We grow beautiful lawns in this country, but they're very environmentally unfriendly. So there's alternatives to the garden lawn by planting lawns of maybe clover or letting half the lawn grow up into kind of wildflower meadow, just letting the grasses flower, or introducing wildflowers. So the basics of our garden and how we garden and our ideas about garden are being challenged for the right reasons. Brendan, the lovely thing about this is the message is getting through. And people are understanding that we shouldn't be using our natural resources like peat. We should reduce our reliance on things like that. We should make our own compost. We should preserve as much water as possible. And we should garden in a slightly more untidy way. If we don't leave, you know, some leaves, some decomposing bits of wood around the garden, there'll be nowhere for, you know, the insects to hibernate over winter. There'll be nothing for them to feed off. So gardening with an ecosystem, and not so much about the shiny accessories that we,
I like it. And that's the fashion these days anyway, isn't it? Everything a little bit more organic-y and natural and everything. Listen, there's loads of questions coming in here. Can I just ask you two things? People asking about roses. Do climbing roses need to be pruned? When should regular roses be pruned? And another texter asking, can I plant rose trees now?
Yes, you can plant rose trees now. Midwinter is a very, very good time for planting. A lot of trees you can get bare-rooted, which means they will be an awful lot cheaper from nurseries or garden centres. Pruning roses, probably a little bit too early, but not too early to prune climbing roses at the moment. It's a little bit complex. Brendan, okay. What we do every evening on Instagram, we run a live broadcast from 7 to 8 p.m. And we're starting a new course from Monday evening, accessible for everybody, and it's called How to Garden.
Super. So, and people will find that at?
Just at Dermot Gavin on Instagram. So we'll cover all of this. What people could do today is take some hardwood cuttings, but we'll go through all that. We start with soil.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Okay. And listen, one thing you might deal with as well, a few people asking about it, we won't do it now, is people asking about window boxes and small city centre balconies and stuff that, you know, people...
Absolutely.
They're stuck at home now. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Great. Listen, before you go, are you involved in the regeneration of the Ivy Market, did I hear? Is that right?
Yeah, we're part of a team doing some work on it at the moment.
Okay. And is this for which of the claimed owners are you representing?
I think Lord Ivy has come and reclaimed it for the people of Dublin. He's very keen that it be used in a way that it was originally intended to. That's the only thing he wants. So we're part of a team working on his behalf to put a plan together.
Okay. Well, listen, I look forward to hearing more about that. That sounds very exciting. And we need a wonderful market like that.
An amenity, absolutely, yeah, we do. Yeah. But one that's appropriate for the community, more so than tourists, I think, for the way people live now.
Yeah, super. Dermot, great to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Brendan.
We'll take a break.
Text 51551. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.